ATC is go.
Frankfurt is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night, Groundhog's Day.
Hello, well, Diane. Groundhog's Day. Yeah, it wasn't yesterday, it was today. All I know is he saw his shadow, and you guys up north are in for six more weeks of winter?
6 more weeks, yep. Puxatani Phil from Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania, saw a shadow. Now, we don't go by Puxatani Phil, not here in north central Nebraska. We go by Wood Lake Wally.
What is that, a beaver or something?
Well, it's something. No, Wood Lake Wally is a raccoon. And Wood Lake Wally, we for years, we thought he was stuffed, taxidermied. turns out he got drunk and passed out on top of the file cabinet over at City Hall. Wood Lake Wally crawls out from under the dumpster across the street from the machine shed here in Wood Lake, Nebraska, on the 2nd of February every year. And if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter. And he did see his shadow. But, like I said, do you really trust a rodent that's inebriated most of the time? Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows? Groundhog's Day, folks, my absolute favorite holiday in the entire year.
I thought Festivus was.
Well, Festivus for the rest of us is okay. But the greatest thing about Groundhog's Day is that you have to do nothing. You don't have to buy cards. You don't have to buy chocolates. You don't have to buy presents. You don't have to decorate. You don't have to. It's the greatest holiday ever created.
Okay.
And to celebrate, I had a sausage for lunch.
Yuck.
Groundhog.
Groundhog. I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Folks, welcome to the show. I hope your grand holiday is going as well as
wait,
my hope.
Wait,
my
wait.
Goodness,
there's
what in the world?
Up.
What the?
That was a pop-up on my machine. Sorry, guys.
Well, Diane's got, it's kind of like those old pop-up books we had when we were kids. You never know. You never know when something's going to jump out at you.
No, because I still always keep, even during our show, I keep all the news feeds that we're hooked into open.
Right.
For breaking news and stuff. And once in a while, a pop-up sneaks through, even though I have the ad blocker on everything.
Almost everything.
Almost. Well, there were, things buried within each feed that comes in that we just don't know about, really.
Groundhog's Day was also a great movie. And, folks that have seen it understand this. The same thing happens day after day after day.
But doesn't he change it at the end? I've never seen it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he has to keep changing a little bit here and a little bit there to try and get the day to roll over to the next day.
And until he does, he gets it, apparently, right?
Right. But until he gets it right, it's the same thing over and over and over again. Now, that scenario played out today with Starship.
Oh, dear, yes.
It was Groundhog's Day for SpaceX today. They finally launched SN9, the Starship prototype.
Right.
And just
the
like...
FAA let them off the ground.
Yep, they let them... They said, go ahead. Go ahead. You have our permission. So they did. And just like SN8, it soared into the air slowly, lumberingly, reached its primary altitude of 10 kilometers. The engines cut off. It goes into that belly flop as it starts to descend and glide back, you know, kind of flat fall back to Earth. And then excitement builds because it does that flip thing where it stands itself up on end. And then just exactly like SN8, what happens?
Splat. You know, you could watch the launch in slow motion, you know, the repeats of it.
Uh-huh.
And their obvious problem here is, yeah, they can do the flip, but they're doing it too close to the ground, and there's too much pressure and force on the rocket, and it's coming down way too fast.
Comes in too hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah,
what the problem is.
I'm not a rocket scientist, but I think SpaceX has the crash landing of the Starship prototype perfected.
I think it does, too. And I also think another problem, knowing a little bit about this stuff, I do think another problem is the actual design of it. It's a bit too bulky.
Well, it's a whopper, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not really something that's conducive to work with the pressure in the atmosphere. I mean, it does work, but I don't think it works ideally as it should. I think it needs to be slimmed down a little bit.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I mean...
It doesn't work ideally. Well, okay, if you say so.
I've seen many a launch, and there's just... Even as it's going up, it's like struggling, like, I think I can make it.
You know, and
that's really not the way it should be.
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, what people have to understand, yeah, it looks like a lumbering son of a gun when it, you know, because it launches slow and it struggles, like you said. But there's a reason for that. You see, what they're launching right now is literally the top half of the rocket.
Right. It's not the main booster rocket. Right.
So, you know, in reality, when they mount this, you know, the 160-foot tall part they have now, when they mount it on top of the Falcon Heavy, okay, the Falcon Heavy is what's going to get it way up there in altitude. The engines that they're launching it with now are not really designed to launch from Earth. They're when it separates, you know, way up in you know, thin atmosphere, those rockets are supposed to get it out of the atmosphere. You know,
but remember also, here it is, you have Falcon Heavy with the second stage that's just as heavy, and I get an eerie, very uncomfortable feeling where you might see a couple of failures here and there.
At this point, I would have to agree with you. But, you know, they got people working on it, and, you know, we'll see what happens. They got SN10 is already on the launch pad. Now, it's probably going to take a good month now that they've crashed SN9 before they're able to launch it. But, you know, we'll see how it works out. Now,
and the one good thing that they have is capital.
They got plenty.
Elon Musk is not hurting for capital. So he could perfect all the little picadillos.
And we hope that he does.
Yes.
You know,
I mean,
I would
we
love
support
to...
this 100%. I would just like to see a nice flip and a nice landing on one of them.
Yeah, it would be something different, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You know, but this is not the only... space nerd stuff that's dominating Diane and my thoughts right now.
No.
There's something coming up in just over 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yes.
Or yes. 2 weeks from Thursday.
Yes, and this one is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it, but you're maybe marginally more excited because you have a bit of a connection to this one.
Yeah, I have a bit of connection to basically all of these missions. But right now, it's due to land on February 18th, which is 15 days, 20 hours, 44 minutes, and 8 seconds from now.
Not that you're counting.
Not that I'm counting.
Perseverance rover is getting ever so close.
Yes,
to Mars at this point. I was watching some great videos about the landing site where they've literally created a 3D modeling of the landing site, and mm-hmm. they kind of fly mm-hmm. you around it and show it to you from different angles and things. This thing's going to land in a crater, Yezera crater, on Mars.
Yes. Yes. Not, I personally think there's a little bit of a mistake here, but I understand the reasons why. The southern polar ice caps of Mars, they do have liquid water, and they also have volcanic action under the ground, which is a heat source. And if you're looking for bacterial, microbial, viral life, or past life in fossil form and things, logic would dictate you would go near the water source. However, we don't have the ability yet to exist in that kind of cold. And I'm talking about the machinery, not us, obviously.
Right, right.
So they're going into a dried up lake bed, which I guess is, you know, if you had to pick an alternative site, that would probably be the best site. But I still think what they're looking for could be found in the southern area more than this. I think here they might find some fossils of something.
And that's kind of what they're looking for with the Perseverance, is they're looking for fossilized bacteria.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And you're right, because, you know, the southern pole region of Mars presents several obstacles for us at this point. One, it's the cold, and batteries freeze,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they well, let's put it this way, they drain faster in the cold.
Right.
There's also the problem, if you're down that close to the pole, you don't get the same amount of sunlight for the same amount of time in the solar panels to recharge the batteries, so you got those problems. Plus, you know, if to do your best work to find something, you'd almost want to be on the ice itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that presents a problem getting around. You'd have to have different wheels designed and, you know, things like that. So there, but, you know, those things will happen. Those will come.
I know they're going to come. I know they're in production. They're on the drawing boards and all sorts of stuff. But there's something very interesting about Perseverance that most people don't know. Part of this little rover, and it's not so little, it's the size of a van, basically. A part of it is called MOXIE. And what that is, it's going to produce oxygen from the Martian CO2 in its atmosphere. Now, that's really important because Mars does have still a bit of atmosphere. And if we could produce oxygen from that atmosphere, it would be a great, great help in setting up human colonies on Mars.
Well, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have to ship canned oxygen, basically, bottled oxygen.
Right.
Up there, if you can produce it from what's outside the habitat.
Right. And that's why I think this is a very, very important part that's not reported on that much, because we do really need to produce oxygen. We can't keep lugging it around all over the place. Not only is it cost effective, but it's also dangerous.
Well, not only that, it's limited. It's limited, too. I mean, if you have to send it up there in these giant bottles, you're still limited to the amount of oxygen you can get in the bottles. But if you
it's also dangerous. But the point is, Mars does have an atmosphere. And if we can utilize and convert, of course, we're going to need aid from our technology, but at least convert what's there. And this little Moxie is sort of like a look into the future of maybe what's possible.
Well, and let's be honest here. Perseverance is going to be doing a lot of that. I mean, not only do they have the Moxie on there, they've also got that little helicopter.
Right.
And they're going to be testing that to find out if you can actually launch and fly around and land in that thin air, the thin atmosphere, thin pressure of Mars. So there's a lot of things designed into this that are kind of forebearers for what's to come.
Right. There's also something that's going to be able to look into the surface. It's called Pixel. It's an X-ray spectrometer. And that's also interesting as well, because it could see in. They're not going to need the arm to look at, dig up everything.
Well, and they can see further in. It's kind of like ground-penetrating radar. It's a ground-penetrating radar on funky steroids.
Well, they also have what's called the RIMFEX on it, and that is a subsurface radar part of the Perseverance. They also have something called META, which is a weather station that's going to monitor the weather, because remember, the thing that killed some of our little rovers that are already there are the sandstorms of Mars.
Right.
So this will help determine that. They also have something called a MASCAM Z, which is a zoomable panoramic camera. So we're going to be able to see things we haven't seen before. And it also has a SuperCam, which is a laser microimager, which is extremely important.
Well, and it's got all sorts of fun bells and whistles. It's got microphones. We're going to be able to listen to Mars.
To Mars.
It's also got specialized instruments to literally detect and decipher the smell of Mars.
Right.
You know, and we know there's methane. Well, we know there's methane, some methane, not a lot, but some. They might find out that Mars smells like a fart.
Oh, please, let's not go there, okay?
I'm just saying, we're going to learn more from this rover than we've learned from all the other rovers put together.
Right. Well, what's interesting about it right now, Perseverance is what's called the cruise phase of the mission. It's basically just about there. So it's slowing down as we're speaking. It's starting to, let's say, basically glide its way into the orbit of Mars. And basically, for people that really want to know what is this going to accomplish, it's basically going to be studying Mars habitability. It's going to seek signs of past microbial life. It's going to collect and cache samples, meaning maybe be able to get them back here. And it's basically preparing for future human missions, which is extremely important.
Well, and not only that, but Perseverance, and they're calling it Percy. Okay, NASA is literally calling the rover Percy. But one of the other aspects of this is what we learn by driving this one around and the experiments that are built into this one and the technology and everything. when we start going to like the moons of Saturn or Jupiter, what we learn from this technology will help us design those probes.
Right. People need to understand when we go further out into space, we're not going to be launching from Earth. We're going to be launching from the moon. We're going to be launching from Mars. And this is critical that we be able to survive on Mars. We need to be able to convert the oxygen. And finding the biosignatures is also extremely
huge,
extremely important, because what that is, those are special rocks. And they're known to preserve signs of life over time, meaning we might not find fossils like we think we see them here on Earth. They might be within the rocks itself.
Well, and we think we may have seen some of that in rocks that have wound up on Earth that originated on Mars. Now we're going to be able to look into the different strata in these river deltas and this lake delta, where Perseverance is going, and see if those things exist. And this is all very cool. But did you know that Curiosity, the Mars rover Curiosity, just passed a major milestone?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still working.
3,000 days on Mars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just made its 3,000th. Yeah.
Yes.
That's huge. So that landing for Perseverance takes place on the 18th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be absolutely amazing. I've got my boarding pass already, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's sent to me for every mission.
That's cool.
But I'm telling you, when we send our manned mission up there, I want to be at that cape watching it go off.
I think that would be fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah. And now, that's not too far from now, folks. I mean, President Trump had it in a reasonable time frame. We know the Democrats are not in favor of any of this. You know, it takes money away from their gimme, gimme, you owe me sorts. But I don't think even he can kill the space program. He can put a big cut into it. But we're going out there, folks, no matter what. Well, that's why the Elon Musks of this world are so important.
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can do a lot to kind of rein in NASA, but he can't touch Elon Musk.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So this is all, you know, and you know, folks, if you're wondering, you know, why are Craig and Diane talking about, you know, space nerd stuff on a political
show? We're space geeks.
That primarily, yes, we're space geeks. But there's also a political element to this.
Yeah, it has to do with Space Force, folks. He who controls space controls Earth.
You know, so let's keep an eye on these things and let's see what happens. Yeah, we make fun a little bit of, you know, Starship going splat. But, you know, put it in context, folks. We want it to succeed.
More than ever. Me, personal reasons, of course. But also, I'm a great believer in space exploration. I think eventually we will make contact with some other people, if you want to use the word, you know, very broadly out there. I'm one of those. I'm not arrogant enough to think that we're it.
No.
Mathematically, we're not it. And I really want our space program to succeed.
And it will. I mean, when you look at the technology that's involved today and the speed at which we're moving along with things today, it's amazing.
Yes.
You know,
it really is.
This is why Diane and I keep such a close tab on this stuff. First of all, we're fascinated by it. We're space nerds. But the political ramifications of this and the science ramifications, the whole thing. When you stand back and you look at the big picture, this is huge. I mean, this is just enormous.
It's one little interesting fact about Mars. There are active volcanoes under the surface of Mars. In other words, heat is being generated, and there's water near it. Where there's heat and where there's water, there's always a possibility for life. Now, I'm not talking humans here, folks. Don't, think I'm... I think that there's some civilization under the surface. No.
Martian hot
tubs.
But
once you have those two elements, heat and water, the possibilities are there for form of life.
I think it's more than the possibility. I think it's a high probability.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two main building blocks. You got to have a heat source and you got to have some water. And right. wherever you find that, and I don't care whether it's on Earth, Mars, or any number of various planetary bodies, either in our solar system or way out beyond, you've got the building blocks you need.
Exactly. So Mars is important for a host of reasons. And the funding, if Biden cuts the funding to the space program, I will be pissed. And I, for one, will write him one hell of a nasty letter.
I can understand that. Look, right now, all eyes on Mars, coming up on the 18th, 3 o'clock Eastern time in the afternoon. Diane and I, you can rest assured, folks, we will be glued to that.
You know what, Craig? Maybe we'll even do a little live feed or something.
Might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Might be kind of fun. If we, too bad we don't know anybody at NASA that could come on and talk about it.
Well, we know people in NASA, but they can't come on and talk.
You know, when Curiosity landed, this was back in 2012. Mm-hmm. I was living at the Grand Canyon, and one of the people who designed the instruments for Curiosity was at the Grand Canyon and gave a seminar 2 hours before the actual landing.
Wow. Cool.
And, that was so cool because, we went, watched the presentation. He spoke for about an hour. We got to ask questions and all that, and then went home, turned on the TV, and watched the darn thing land. It was great.
Yeah. Well, now there's certain security things and clearances, and it's not quite the same anymore.
Yeah, things change, but this is going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be very nerve-wracking.
Yes, it is. 7 minutes of terror. That's what NASA calls it.
Yeah, that's the blackout period, folks.
Well, that's the amount of time it takes to get a command from Earth to the spaceship. Okay.
Well, that's what I mean. We don't know what's happening for those 7 minutes. Has the ship taken in the command? Is it following the command? It's a blackout period, it's called, basically.
Literally, once the ship hits the atmosphere, it doesn't do any good to send it to command because by the time it gets there, it will already be on the ground. And it will either have landed successfully or it will have done a starship splat.
Right. And right now, we're 15 days, 20 hours, 25 minutes, and 40 seconds away.
And you're still not counting.
Still not counting.
Folks, we made it to the bottom of the hour. Look, we've got another hour to go here, and we've got a lot of political stuff to talk about. But we had to get our geek on, and we thank you for listening tonight, and especially to that segment. But you'll hear more about that as we get closer to landing date.
Yeah.
But with that, we're going to take the bottom of the hour break here. And when we come back, it's all about politics. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, the 2nd of February, Tuesday night. Welcome to it, folks. All right, Diane, what's going on in the wide, 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 wide world of crazy political crap?
Well, here's an interesting one. Our dear friend, you know, Uncle Joe, Biden Center has actually been caught concealing tens of millions of dollars received from China.
What? Biden has ties to China?
Yeah, one or two.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah, and of all things, he was caught by the group Campus Reform. I mean, they've been around for quite a while.
Right.
And they've got some real concerns over the links between China and Uncle Joe. You know, they published a report, and it said the Biden Center, it's at the University of Pennsylvania, is under scrutiny over gifts from China that were not correctly disclosed to the federal government. In other words, tax evasion.
Boy, I find that so hard to believe. That must be a conspiracy theory.
Yes. I mean, a lot. We're talking millions of dollars here, folks.
I mean, look, where do you think he learned it? The Clinton Foundation, perhaps?
And also his pipeline, Hunter.
Well, I mean, that's where the money comes from, but how do you hide it? Well, that's kind of a Clinton Foundation
thing.
Yeah,
that's a Clinton thing. Sure.
Yeah, you know, sure. I mean, the Clinton Foundation stinks from the ground up. You know, now we're going to find out, so does the Biden Foundation.
Yeah, and apparently, very interesting, the university, suddenly, once Biden announced he was running, the university received $70 million from China.
Oh, jeez. It never ends. It never ends.
No, but Trump is bad. Trump is bad, but it's okay that Biden does that. What I want to know is, which charity is Uncle Joe going to donate his salary to?
Right. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. The Wayward Home for Chinese Waifs.
I think Biden's his own charity.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's just, look, we're gonna go through, you know, this whole thing, you know, for the next, you know, 6 months or a year, however long Biden remains enshrined. And it's going to be one more thing after the next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's something else about big tech. Our great governor, my Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, he sent a little message to big tech regarding the banning of politicians after, you know, they threw President Trump off and Mike Lindell of MyPillow and a couple of other people, permanent bans. They cannot come back. Well, Florida Governor DeSantis announced that he is declaring all-out war on social media giants for their censorship, what he says, run amok. And he sent a very clear message to them. He said they need to stay clear of trying to influence Floridian elections or face massive fines if a candidate from the Sunshine State is banned during an election from a certain platform, you know which platforms we're talking about, and that company will face a $100,000 per day fine until that candidate's access is restored.
You know, that could be a very interesting thing to keep an eye on. Because,
yes,
you know, I know we just got done with an election, folks, but 2022 is coming.
Right. And who he included in this is Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Twitter. And he said they hold too much power over what he calls the modern day public square. And he's 100% correct.
Well, damn good for Ron DeSantis. I mean, you know, this is the type of thing where Florida, I think, is going to lead the way. I think you're going to find other red states, mm-hmm, that are going to look at this and say, you know what? Maybe we ought to get in that game too.
I see Florida coming on board. I mean, Florida. I see Texas. I see Texas coming on board, joining this pretty shortly.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a whole bunch of red states climbing on that train.
Right. Georgia's no longer red. Yeah.
You know, I am not convinced that Georgia's blue.
They're blue through stealing. Whether they're blue in actuality, I don't know.
You know, and I think we're going to start seeing people, just your average everyday people in red states, are going to start. They're going to see what DeSantis and what Florida is doing. They're going to look at some of the things that are going on in Texas. They're going to start looking at things that are going on in South Dakota, and mm-hmm, they're going to start putting the heat on their own state lawmakers, their own governors and their senators and their representatives at the state level to start doing those things too.
Hey, maybe Ron can take it a little further and look at private citizens like me who are constantly being censored by these big tech companies. I'm serious, because nobody else is helping the little guy. The politicians that we thought would help us are not helping. All they care about is the people of name. But Ron DeSantis seems to be different. He might be willing to help all of us conservatives as a collective. I'm not talking individual ones. I'm talking as a collective, that this ban should not only go to politicians, but to private, everyday Americans who are banned.
Right. People that just want to converse, people that want to put ideas out there, share their opinions, find other people that think the way they do. Maybe try and sway people to their way of thinking.
Right.
You know, this could open tremendous
possibilities to help.
Well, this is how those types of things start. Yeah, this is how things like that get started.
Right.
You know, people look at this and they say, well, you know, that makes sense. Maybe we can expand it. Maybe we can put a little pressure on our local or state elected officials to step up and grow a set and put a stop to some of this nonsense. Now,
exactly.
I mentioned South Dakota. Let me tell you folks what's going on up in South Dakota right now.
Okay.
One of their brand new representatives, this is a state representative, okay, and this guy, I wish I could remember his name. He was elected in November.
Okay.
Okay, and what he's done is he has introduced a bill into the House of Representatives there, up in South Dakota, and I can tell you how I'm gonna pop open a website here, and I'll be able to tell you this fellow's name. And what he's done is he is introducing a bill that would literally allow the Secretary of State in South Dakota to, I guess, rule on presidential executive orders.
Well, are you talking about North Dakota Congressman Kelly Armstrong?
No, this is South Dakota that I'm talking about.
Okay, because Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota is introducing legislation along with other House Republicans that aim to preserve the Keystone Pipeline.
Right, and that's a whole different thing. Here's what's going on. Aaron Aylward, okay, that's this representative's name. He's from the House of Representatives in South Dakota. HB 1194 is the bill, and it gives the process of review for any presidential orders that have not been approved and signed into law by the U.S. Congress. The bill proposed would allow the Attorney General of South Dakota, currently that is a fellow by the name of Jason Roundsburg, okay, he would be able to block implementation of any order that's deemed unconstitutional if that order refers to the following: a pandemic or other public health emergency, the regulation of natural resources, the regulation of the agriculture industry, the regulation of land use, the regulation of the financial sector through the imposition of environmental, social, or governance standards, and the regulation of constitutional rights to keep and bear arms.
Hmm.
So any presidential order signed by any president, okay, at any time, the Attorney General, if this bill passes, would then be able to review that executive order, and if it interferes with any of these segments, then South Dakota will say, nope, that doesn't apply to our state.
Executive orders are addressed in the Constitution. You really have to find out the constitutionality of what can and cannot be done regarding them.
Right.
I'm not so sure it's that easy.
I don't know.
To get rid of an EO.
But we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. But hand in hand with that is just today, Congressman Armstrong, like I said, along with Kevin McCarthy, the Republican House leader, and Steve Scalise, the Republican whip, along with 83 Republicans, introduced the Keystone XL Pipeline Construction and Jobs Preservation Act. Now, what this does is authorizes the construction and operation of the Keystone Pipeline and declares that a presidential permit is not required. In other words, this would override the EO.
Interesting.
Yeah. So those two things kind of go hand in hand. They're different subjects. But both involving executive orders. And there's certain constitutional rights that were given to a president. I don't know if either one will actually be successful.
I don't either. But it's worth testing the water.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You
know? And if there's a way to do this, I think, again, other states might jump on the train. You know, this is going to be a very interesting scenario as these types of things play out. Not only what they're doing in North Dakota, not only the Scalise deal, this thing in South Dakota, the deal down there in Florida. Texas is involved in some different dealings, you know, along these lines. It's going to be very interesting to see what comes of all this.
Well, we already know that a lot of Biden voters are having buyer's remorse.
Well, how about the Pipe Fitters Union?
The Keystone Pipeline, the 11,000 people immediately now out of work, you know.
Well, and think about this, Diane. Those people, you know, those people that were actually building the pipeline, mm-hmm. right? Their union supported Biden.
And the unions are now having buyer's remorse.
Oh, big time, because they just lost 11,000 workers.
Right, right. You know? I mean, Joe Biden is going to make the people who didn't vote for Trump bang their heads on the wall that they didn't.
Well, you know, he's been squatting in the Oval Office now for, a couple of weeks, right? He's already showing us what a great President Trump was.
Yeah, and you see it every time, you know, they focus in on him and you see the statue of Chavez right behind him.
It just irritates me something fierce.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Biden is a puppet. He's a placeholder for Kamala Harris being Obama's de facto third term in office.
You don't say.
I do say.
Here's something kind of fun. Okay.
Okay.
The New York Times, liberal
laughable
rag.
Laughable at best.
Yes, laughable liberal rag that it is. The New York Times is actually facing a little bit of backlash today for a report they published that was urging Biden to appoint, get this, a reality czar.
Oh, dear God. Well, if anybody needs a dose of reality, it's Dementia Joe.
Getting Biden to appoint a reality czar, isn't that a little bit like getting Jeffrey Dahmer to hire a maitre d'?
Could be.
I mean, of course, this all goes to, you know, the QAnon conspiracy theorists, right?
Yeah.
This columnist, his name is Kevin Roos. He said the muddled, chaotic information ecosystem that produces these misguided beliefs doesn't just jeopardize some lofty ideal of national unity and actively exacerbates our biggest national problems and creates more work for those trying to solve them. And it raises an important question for the Biden administration. How do you unite a country in which millions of people have chosen to create their own version of reality? Well, good Lord, Joe Biden has created his own version of reality, and it's nothing like reality.
But you know what's, in a way, is sad about the whole Biden situation is if you're suffering from dementia, you don't know that you're not all there. But his family does. His wife does. And she allows him every day to go out, not only make a mockery of this country, but be a danger to this country. Seriously, she is aiding and abetting a man not medically fit to be president, putting America in danger. There's a word for that. It begins with a T.
Treason?
Okay, yeah. Trade, I was thinking, but treason is the same thing. You know somebody's not medically fit to hold a position like this, the world's top leader, and you don't do anything, you're actually allowing it to happen. She wants to be first lady so bad. I got news for her. She's not going to hold a candle to Melania.
Oh, not even close. If you want to know how bad it's getting right now on the world stage, Kim mm-hmm. Jong-un is sitting over there in North Diarrhea saying, I'm not so crazy no more.
Yeah.
He's got Biden over here.
He even said somebody should shoot him like a bad dog. Remember that quote?
I do. You know? I mean, it's getting weird. You know, when they're talking about having a reality czar, let me decode that for those of you who might wonder what a reality czar would actually be.
Okay.
What the New York Times and this Roos, this columnist named Kevin Roos, what they're actually saying here is it's far too dangerous if everybody doesn't think the way we think. If people are allowed to have their own opinion of something, right, wrong, or indifferent, if they're allowed to have their own opinion, it makes the whole world dangerous. Everybody must think like we think. That's what they're telling. That's what they're saying. We need a reality czar. Look, who's going to decide what reality is reality?
We already got it. We don't need a czar because guess what? Project Veritas uncovered top Facebook executives discussing their power and plans to aid the Biden administration in their endeavors.
Wow.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. You got to hand it to Project Veritas.
Yes.
They uncover this stuff in ways you would never think.
Here's the words of, you know, our beloved Zucky, as we call him, Zucky Sucky, if you want to know. Okay, this is actually, he was caught on tape saying this, quote, "I think that these were all important and positive steps, and I am looking forward to opportunities where Facebook is going to be able to work together with this new administration on some of their top priorities, starting with the COVID response." In other words, social media is going to be working with and guiding the President of the United States. Social media, where most people, you know, do not do politics, they do, you know, recipes and pictures of their pets and their family and this and that. They're going to be dictating and helping along with the administration's policies.
Good Lord.
Yes.
That, I mean, when you've got the primary entities that have been acting in a fascist manner by censoring people, throwing them off the platform, limiting people's ability to communicate their thoughts, their feelings, their hopes, their dreams, their desires. When you take those entities and put them in charge of steering the dementia-ridden administration, you are going down a rabbit hole so fast and so far you will never get out.
Exactly.
You know, when you talk about, you know, we want a reality czar, you know, one of these idiots at the New York Times even suggested, get this, Michael Avenatti for that post. Michael Avenatti, folks, in case you have forgotten, was the key guy involved in trying to frame and smear Justice Kavanaugh.
Right.
And President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his crap turned to pure swamp muck because none of it was real. And Michael Avenatti was such a liar, he got sent to prison.
Yep.
That's the guy that they're suggesting become the reality czar? Holy crap.
You're having now convicted felons in positions of power.
I mean, it's just like, what the hell is going on here? You know, we are living, when we hear things like this, what we've just talked about for the past 10 minutes, that's an alternate reality.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that they used to do on the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, oh my God, what the hell is going on here?
Well, you know, with some some of this reality. We do have a little bit of reality on the good end in the fact that the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, 7 of them already are facing challenges for their 2022 seats in Congress.
Good.
Payback is a bitch.
Boy, it is. Folks, if they're in your neck of the woods, and one of them is in mine.
Yes.
Ben Sasshole.
Yes.
Okay. Primary them out. Now, the problem with Sass, he doesn't come up for re-election for another 6 years.
Well, I was talking, no, this is the House, I said. The ones that sided with the Republicans.
Right.
I mean, with the Democrats in the House. They are being already, they have challengers for their seats.
Good. Send them packing.
Yeah, that's a little bit of good news.
That is a little bit.
Got a little bit amongst all the nonsense. Well, the big nonsense will be Tuesday.
Yeah, that's coming up. We're going to talk about that here in the next segment. In fact, I know we're a little bit early for the top of the hour, but we could take our top of the hour break and then come back and talk about the impending impeachment.
Yeah. And also, there's another little thing I'd like to bring up. There's a lot of brouhaha going on now about the schools reopening. Chicago, New York, Pennsylvania, mostly in the Northeast, they're not reopening like they should be reopening. And now the parents are taking actions against the school boards and the teachers' union for not allowing their kids back in school.
Couple of great topics and maybe a little bit extra coming up for you in the next segment, final segment of the show tonight. Folks, stay where you are. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pollock go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, February 2nd. Welcome to it. Folks, if you haven't been over there, get over to rspradio1.com. You don't know what you're missing if you don't go over and check out our website.
Yes.
We got lots of stuff. If you want to see the SN9 Starship splat from earlier this afternoon, we got the video. It's right there on the video page.
Yep.
You know,
it's kind of upsetting to watch, but it is.
But you know, Elon Musk is just kind of sitting there going, "Well, okay, let's figure this out." You know, I mean, I don't think he's that upset about it.
No, I don't think he is either. I think he expects a certain amount of this. Remember, when we first went into space with NASA, we had a lot of disasters.
We did. Things didn't always work out right. Now, in case you want more on Elon Musk, go to the technology page at rspradio1.com. Elon Musk, one of his companies, because he's got more than one, you know, one of his endeavors, they have, I don't know about this, they have actually implanted some sort of a chip in the brain of a monkey. And that monkey is now able to play video games with its mind. Folks, I have seen those Planet of the Apes movies. This is how that crap starts. I just don't know how smart that is. Okay, so before we went to the break, you were talking about the schools, the situation in the schools. Kids need to get back in schools, and a lot of these blue states are not allowing that to happen.
Right, especially in the Chicago area of, you know, Illinois, New York, Pennsylvania. What's happening is now is the parents are starting to bring lawsuits against the teachers' unions, the teachers, and the school boards for not allowing their kids to go back to school. It has been proven kids are not the great spewers of COVID. You're not going to get COVID by being in school. The teachers are acting like cowards. Okay. Most of them in these states are Democrats, so they're listening to their, you know, anointed ones. They're listening to the BS out there. And, well, that leads me into something else. But first, they're taking it into their own hands now. And I have to say kudos to those parents. Some of them are saying, you know, we have buyer's remorse. They right. thought things would be different. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
Well,
and it isn't.
You mentioned Chicago. Can I just tell you what's going on there in regards to the schools?
Sure.
Chicago Mayor Lori Beetlejuice Lightfoot came out this morning. And, you know, this is one of the places where the teachers' union, they're saying, no way. Our kids aren't going, you know, we're not going to go back. We're not going to teach. Kids aren't going to come to school till everybody gets vaccinated, right? She is now, Beetlejuice Lightfoot, is now blaming it all on Trump.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. She said, I think it's important for both sides to come to the table in good faith, recognize that we're both trying to work through a very challenging situation, but we must get a deal done. And then she, I gotta find the exact quote here. Here it is. She said the standoff between the Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Teachers Union over whether teachers should return to the classrooms is because of the incompetence of the previous administration.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, the teachers this week said, we're not going back. And they put out a dance video. Chicago teachers put out some kind of an interpretive dance video to highlight the fact that they're not going to go back into the classroom. And because they did that this week, that's the previous administration's fault? What?
We
can't go back. It's Trump's fault. Now that the teachers union is saying no. Yeah, Trump had so much sway over the unions, right? Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, here's a little something that has, if people don't believe what I'm going to say, you can Google it. It's on major medical sites. You will find it, okay? COVID-19, coronavirus, the China virus, the virus from China, whatever you want to call it, is now learning how to resist the new vaccines and certain treatments. And that proves what I've been writing about, what Craig and I have been saying since day one. COVID is a biological agent of sorts. You want to call it a weapon, call it a weapon, but it's a biological agent of sorts. And what's needed against a biological agent is not a vaccine, it's an antidote. Plain and simple. And as it's now learning in this short period of time, it's learning how to render the vaccine less and less potent. In fact, some of the new ones that are coming out now are only 89% effective, 74% effective. Folks, we've been had.
Now, you say what we need is an antidote, not a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could agree with you, Diane, but I can't, because we know what we really need. Dr. Fauci has told us, wear two masks.
That is pure idiocy. Pure, total idiocy. First of all, folks, for people who don't understand, a vaccine is a preventative, an antidote is a cure. That's just simple medicalese, if you will. A vaccine prevents something. Well, how can you prevent something that keeps morphing? Okay, but if you have an antidote for the general family of whatever, that's what you need. Okay. As far as the masks, it's BS.
Two masks. Two. Got to wear two now.
Yeah. Masks, I hate to tell folks, don't work. They are not a solid barrier. People forget that the coronavirus, 100 million of them, or billion of them, whatever, fit on the head of a pin. Do you know how easy that is to go through the fabric?
But if
the
you're wearing
stitchings of the fabric under or around where they're loose, this or that, we need herd immunity, and we need it fast.
But Diane, if you wear two masks, you might confuse them.
No, you might breathe in enough of your own CO2 that coronavirus won't get you, but your own breath will.
Can you imagine going to an Italian restaurant, having something with garlic in it, and then putting two masks on your way out the door? Holy moly!
I mean, this is ridiculous. But I find now that more and more people, when you go into places, they're like, we're sick of this masks. I think we need to start a national, burn the mask day and get the herd immunity in place. And isn't it funny, Craig, that the flu virus is coming down at the exact same level that the coronavirus is going up?
Who would have guessed?
In other words, you used to say COVID-19 is the common cold.
No,
what
I called
it
really
is the common flu.
I called it the uncommon cold.
Uncommon cold, right.
Right.
Right. I mean, right. Isn't that odd that, you know, the flu, wow, it's dropping 20%. Oh, COVID infections are going up 20% or whatever, you know, pick your number. But they're
guessed?
Right in sync with each other. Doesn't that tell you something?
It's a coinky dink.
A big coinky dink.
I got a couple other things on the whole COVID mask thing.
Sure.
All right. Apparently, and I have not yet confirmed this, but apparently, Andrew Cuomo has said that he would volunteer for the anal swab on the COVID-19 test.
And Andrew Cuomo should be arrested and tried. He can't be tried with actual murder. He didn't physically murder anybody, but an accessory to murder, because he knowingly sent sick people with coronavirus into the most vulnerable of us. What he did was agenda 30, agenda 50, the culling of the herd.
Right. But
yeah, and you want to hear something. If you want to really equate it to something, I mean, this is bad. But if you remember in the early 1930s, the end of the 20s, the early 1930s, as Hitler came to power and all the noxious gases came into being, who did he test them on first?
Right.
What did he do?
Right. There you go. There you go. But yeah, apparently Governor Cuomo has said he would volunteer to be anal swabbed. I don't know. Given where his head is most of the time, he could lose an eye.
or it could perforate his brain.
I mean, I'm just saying, you could lose an eye. Now, here's the other thing I got on the coronavirus stuff, right?
Okay.
You now have to wear a mask to get into a national park.
Fresh air is supposed to be, you know, the best thing for you.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because the executive order says on any federal property.
Right.
So now, let's say you're going to go hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park, or you're going to go, stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon, or you're going to go camping at Yosemite, or maybe the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, something like that. You have to wear a mask to get into the park. Ridiculous. They won't let you in now without a mask. My question is, how big do the masks have to be to cover the nose and mouth of the faces on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, my God. Somebody should do a Photoshop of that.
Because those guys are pretty close together.
Oh, God. This is getting ridiculous, this whole COVID stuff. But I do like to see there's one little positive in all this COVID nonsense. And that has to do with the COVID-19 relief package. And that little bit of good news comes in the guise of the only Kennedy Democrat left in the Senate, and that's Joe Manchin.
Okay.
While he did vote to move the bill forward, which is technicality, he came out and actually stated he will not vote down the party line on the COVID relief bill unless it makes sense and is bipartisan in nature. So in other words, their 50-50 split, which you would think would happen, they've lost one vote, the Democrats, because Manchin ain't siding with them as the bill is.
Right. Right. And good for him. You know, yes. And when you look at this thing, there again, what the Democrats are talking about is a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Once again, buried in this thing is all sorts of pork that has absolutely nothing to do with COVID-19.
Exactly. And that's a COVID relief bill should be COVID relief only. And COVID relief should not go to illegals here. Okay, if you're illegal, you don't belong here, you don't get our money either.
They're trying to slip stuff in there for illegal aliens. They're like Obamacare.
Exactly.
You know, free for illegal aliens. They're trying to slip all sorts of crap in there that has absolutely nothing to do with COVID-19.
Right. It's ridiculous. You know what? If the media would stop reporting on COVID, if the politicians would stop acting like idiots about COVID, COVID would go away.
It would.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. COVID would go away. And more people are beginning to understand that now. More and more people have had it with the masks. And isn't it funny? Remember when COVID first started? Not only did we have to wear masks, we had to wear gloves because it's on your hands and this and that. You need to sanitize. Do you hear about gloves and sanitizing your hands anymore?
No. And you're absolutely right. When this all started a year ago, right? You couldn't buy a bottle of hand sanitizer to save your soul.
Right.
Okay. Now, no problem.
Right.
You know, nobody's talking about it.
What happened to the gloves? So we didn't, you know, contaminate things when we touched them, when we touched our faces, when we touched a product in a store. That just suddenly went away.
Well,
but the masks are a way of control. And it also shows everybody, look, I'm a good little follower. I follow the control.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if you're near someone that has the disease, you know, a mask might cut a certain amount chances of you catching the disease. I mean, there is some common sense to the mask. But, folks, the only masks that really work are the N95s, the ones that the people working in the hospitals wear, the surgical masks. The other masks are a joke.
This stuff's getting crazy. It's getting out of control.
Yes.
You know, and here's something else that's getting out of control. Okay. Pete Buttigieg, whatever, was confirmed, okay, today as transportation secretary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we go with the mainstream media, right? Breaking. Mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg confirmed as Secretary of Transportation, becoming the first openly gay member of a presidential cabinet. That was on NBC. Okay?
Okay.
Except that he wasn't the first openly gay member of a presidential cabinet.
That's
honor
very true.
Goes
very
to
true.
Rick Grenell.
That's right.
President Trump's Director of National Intelligence.
But the difference is Rick Grenell actually had the background, the knowledge to do that job. Buttigieg was a mayor. Being a mayor makes him qualified to run the transportation department? No. But he fits the inclusion. Now Biden has a gay person in his cabinet.
Not only is he part of, you know, checking off the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the mainstream media is gaga over this. The first openly gay member of a presidential cabinet. The first. He's not.
Okay? Well, you know why?
Rick Grenell was, and Rick Grenell was appointed by President Trump. But they're not going to give Trump the kudos.
You know why? There's a difference between the two men. Grenell did not make being gay his prime description of himself. Buttigieg does.
You notice that too?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Rick
that's
Grenell.
One of the reasons.
Rick Grenell came up through the ranks. He worked himself silly. The guy was one of the sharpest people you'll ever come across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eminently qualified for the position, probably overqualified for the position, right? And did a fantastic job as the DNI, everything. Being gay was not his calling card.
No. Okay? It was just a part of him. I'm this. Oh, yeah, and I'm also gay. With Buttigieg, that's his defining
trait.
What would you call it? Trait. Really?
It's at the top of his resume. I'm gay, and I was also a mayor of a city that was full of potholes. Make me your transportation secretary. I mean.
Well, Dementia Joe did.
He did.
And then the stupid people in the Congress and the Senate, they okayed it.
I mean,
so what do you want? We're dealing with lunatics all around.
The only qualification for Buttigieg to be the transportation secretary is that it's gay, and I can't figure out why that's a qualification for anything.
Either can I.
You know, I can't figure out why being straight is a qualification for anything.
Your sexual preference should not be your defining feature of why you get a position.
No.
It shouldn't even be in the equation of why you get your position.
Nor should the color of your skin.
That's right.
Nor, I mean, what you
qualify. Nor your religion.
Your religion.
Or lack thereof.
What should qualify you for a position at any job, and I don't care if it's in the government, I don't care if it's in the private sector, what qualifies you for a job is your experience in doing that, whatever that is.
And your knowledge? You know, are you knowledgeable about the position you seek? I mean, this has gotten...
It's crazy, isn't it? This has gotten
just ridiculous. It's like we're living in a bizarro world right now.
It really is. And, you know, with the 10 minutes or so we've got left, let's get into the real bizarro stuff. The impeachment, second impeachment, impeachment 2.0, the sequel, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Starts on Monday.
You mean the impeaching of a private citizen, which is kind of an oxymoron in itself.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a waste of our taxpayer dollars. It's political theater. It's a circus. It's a dog and pony show. And you know what? Anyone says Trump incited violence, which he did not, they need to play Kamala Harris's big mouth and her remarks, Maxine Waters, Pelosi, and the whole crew of them.
AOC, Ilhan Omar, all of them.
Presley, all of them. Tlaib, remember Tlaib?
Chuck Schumer.
Need to play that. You impeach Trump, you impeach them.
Yep, go right down the line.
But they're not going to do it.
Of course not. Of course they're not going to do that. Now, here's the thing, folks. Impeachment ain't going to work. They don't have the votes.
Right.
Okay.
So now they're going to censure.
Well, I got some news on that.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Tim Kaine, who along with Rhino Susan Collins from Maine,
mm-hmm.
together drafted a proposal to censure Trump.
I didn't know you can censure a private citizen either.
Well, they can't because they don't even have the votes for that. As it turns out, the pursuit of a bipartisan effort to censure former President Donald Trump has ended due to a lack of support.
Yay.
They can't even get the votes to do that. So,
yes.
When this thing starts on Monday, what are they going to do?
It might actually end on Monday.
I mean, this is how insane this is getting. Okay, there's the Democrats, the liberals, the Marxists, they're still talking about parading witnesses up there. They haven't made that decision yet. Okay? Yeah. Lindsey Graham came out and said, you do that, you're opening up Pandora's box. And he's right.
You know who wants to move ahead with all of this? The traitor Mitch McConnell.
The traitor Mitch McConnell and the traitor Mitt Romney.
Well, Mitt Romney's a joke. He's just a joke.
Yep.
But you know what I'd like to end with? And this really bothers me. This happened in Miami. Today, two FBI agents, special agents, were shot dead. Two others are in the hospital. And also another was wounded. And this had to do with the arrest of someone who was child pornography, and it was an investigation into child violence and child pornography, and the guy did kill himself after he killed the agents. Well, instead of Joe Biden coming out and saying this is terrible and this and that, yeah, he said they paid the price. However, he followed it. He said, the vast majority of agents are decent, honorable people, which implies that the two that were murdered are not.
You know,
He should be ashamed of himself.
He doesn't even know what he's saying most of the time.
I guess his earbuds weren't working right.
The guy doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. But to get up there and say something like that in a moment like that is disgusting.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, even his handlers should have known better than to prop him up in front of a microphone at that moment.
Yeah. He didn't need to say anything, okay? But he Good didn't Lord. Speak to the victim's family and did not plan to do so as well. When officers were killed on Trump's watch, he made a point of calling their families. But this man has no plans on doing that.
Well, you know, I hate to belabor the point. Okay, but you know who else wouldn't do a thing like that? Obama. And Obama's
exactly.
running the show.
Exactly.
You know, this is another example of Obama running the show. Obama hated the cops. He hated law enforcement. Hated them. Of course, he got the FBI to do his bidding.
Mm-hmm. His own little private army. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, but he had to go around, sneak around behind the backs and you know, use the ilk of Comey and Peter Strzok and, you know, Lisa Page and, you know, some of those, you know, to get that done. The hierarchy, not your, you know, garden variety, you know, boots on the street, you know, FBI agents. He had to use the swamp hierarchy that was embedded in the FBI to do that. But Obama didn't. He didn't like law enforcement.
No.
You know, and he wouldn't call. You know, when cops got killed. I mean, he was probably sitting there, you know, cheering them on. You know, cheering
yeah,
on the killers.
Marking the numbers off on the wall. You know, Xing them out.
I mean, that's the mentality of the man. You know, so does it come as any surprise that Joe Biden didn't immediately pick up the phone and contact those agents' families and you know, say, you know, the nation is mourning right with you and what, you know, whatever you say to somebody in that situation? Of course not. Not when Obama's calling the shots.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. But then this is ridiculousness coming from the man who said, when questioned about all the executive orders that he has signed and still is going to sign, he said, "I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy." Well, Joe, you moron, you are making law because you are making people follow your executive orders. That's law.
Like I said,
can't believe it, Craig. We're living in such a bizarre world right now.
It's the Twilight Zone.
It is.
It's the Twilight Zone at this point.
It really is.
It's getting worse by the minute, too. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, look, we're getting right down here to the bottom of the hour and the bottom of the show. We want to thank you for being with us tonight. We hope you enjoyed all the chat. Go to rspradio1.com. You'll find all sorts of news, all sorts of commentary, political cartoons. And when you get down to the bottom of that homepage, scroll all the way to the bottom. There are special segments there that you can click into and get information for active military and military vets.
Right. And also some key sites.
Yep.
That we really like and we promote their things.
And we think you'll like them too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what a bizarre life right now. I can't. That keeps sticking in my head.
Well, it's because it's so true.
I know.
It just is. It's so true. Folks, yes. We hope you have a great rest of the evening. We've got a couple of great articles coming up for you on Friday, a couple of great segments in the show. And, of course, we will also be talking, because by Friday we're going to know more about what we can expect to take place in the impeachment starting next Monday.
Right.
So we'll get you all up to speed on all of that as well.
Yes.
Friday night. With that, Diane, let's wrap this thing up. What do you say?
I say that sounds good. So nighty night, folks.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday.